p.m. This is Zach Coble. I'm the chairperson of the Commission on Disability Issues. I'm calling this meeting to order. Stephanie, can you complete roll call, please?
Yes, absolutely. So this will be roll call for the July 17th meeting. Sue Crager?
Here.
Kate Elliott?
Here.
Derek Espada?
Here.
Wesley Derbyshire? Zach Coble?
Here.
Ray Jordan?
Here.
Lily Bogan?
Here.
We have quorum.
Thank you, Stephanie. At this time, we are going to do our call to the audience, just in case there are members of the community that would like to comment and bring to our attention any issues of concern for, you know, for them as people with disabilities or family members of people with disabilities. I don't know if I see anyone that I know is a person not affiliated with CODI or the city, but give just one moment. Okay. Not hearing or seeing anyone. I think we can move directly into our next agenda item. We're lucky enough to have the new City Manager Tim Thurmer. I apologize, sir, if I'm mispronouncing your name, but we're delighted to have you on. What I thought could be, you know, helpful is, you know, if you want to give some introductions of yourself, and then I know commissioners and I are probably, you know, eager to ask any questions.
Wesley's there.
Or thank you, Rick. Or, you know, have a discussion of disability issues with the city. Does that sound like a good thing, a good way to approach things for about half an hour?
Good afternoon. That sounds great to me.
Thank you. So the floor is yours.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Tim Thurmer. I'm the new city manager. And just by way of a little bit of background on me, I've been with the city this time around for about 8.5 years. I'll go into a little deeper history here in a moment, but I came to the city in 2016 as the director of Tucson Water. I'm an engineer by trade, and much of my career has been in the water space, although I've been in transportation and other sectors as well. I was the water director for about 5 years under Mr. Ortega, and then he asked me to take on some assignments, starting with when Parks Director Brent Dennis left the city in July of 2000. He asked me to move over and take over Parks for six. So I was at Parks for 6 months as their interim director. Right when I thought I was going to go back to water, Albert Elias, who was the assistant city manager over Public Works, retired. So I moved into that role. And so I was an assistant city manager for a couple of years. During that time, I also did an interim stint with Transportation Mobility while being an ACM. And I also did a year with Planning and Development Services while being the ACM. And then about a year and a half ago, I became the deputy city manager and was overseeing public safety, police, fire, 911, courts, public defender, and community safety, health, and wellness. And then when Mr. Ortega announced his retirement, the mayor and council selected me to take his place. So effective July 1, which is also my birthday. So I'm now 17 days on the job. Prior to that, I was in consulting for 8 years, doing projects across the country and a variety of things. And in that role, prior to that, I was with the city in stormwater and in water as a hydrologist. And then prior to that, in the 90s, I spent much of my time in actually the mining industry. I was the environmental compliance person for mining companies in Western South Dakota. So originally from St. Louis, my wife Christina is a native Tucsonan. She's a Pueblo warrior. The kids were born in South Dakota, but they grew up here. This is home for all of us. So, and I've been in Arizona since 1999. So, that's me in a nutshell. And the background behind me, you will see evolve as I get my other bookcase and I start to make it look a little bit better than a bare wall. So that's my background and I'm excited to be here with you all.
Thank you so much. As a, fellow, Midwest transplant, you know, I know how much we can love, you know, where we live now. I know, Commissioner Krager had to just jump off because their connection was lagging. But do other commissioners, have questions or issues they'd like to talk to the city manager about? I know I have, you know, multiple questions. Commissioner Jordan, get us started. Floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Zach. Hello, my name. Just call me Ray, please. Zach, I might actually be jumping on top of one of the, I guess, obvious questions that that you will ask anyway. But since I've got the floor, Mr. Tomio, can you run us through your priorities? What is it that you see that you can improve about Tucson? Sounds like a loaded question, and a big one, but have at it. Thank you.
Yeah, first of all, everything's fair here, so happy to have your question. So priorities and improvements are related, so I'm going to maybe talk about each of them. So my priorities are to make sure that we continue to improve in how we serve the community. It sounds very basic, but it's very much at the heart of why we're a city government and what our mandates are. We are to provide services, to do it well, and to make sure that Tucsonans have a safe and livable community. And we provide services across the spectrum, whether it's clean, safe drinking water, whether it's doing the refuse pickup reliably, whether it's making sure we're doing our best to have a climate resilient city for the future. Of course, the roads is something that's also a priority. And what that all comes down to is investment of public dollars and doing it well. So there are several voter approved investments. Those are right at the top of the list for me, the Prop 407 parks and connections improvements, the Prop 411 neighborhood streets improvements, Prop 101 public safety improvements. Those are all integral to being successful and our priorities. But what I'll add to that is how we do that really matters as well. It's not just about getting the work done, although that's what I walk around saying to everybody is, well, just get stuff done. Do it in a way that we're proud of the outcome, that we've minimized impacts to the community. Because, you know, when we're doing big infrastructure, there's always this impact. Can we leave it better than where we found it? And I'll couple this with this guidance is provided by the voter and this guidance is provided by mayor and council. So it's certainly not me saying, you know, out of whole cloth, I'm saying, you know, we need to do it in an equitable way, but I am a firm believer in the direction that mayor and council provides to do things in equity. It's to make sure that we have previously underinvested neighborhoods. Well, that's where we should be focusing and that's where we should be doing most of this work. When we have areas of town that have historic poverty and, you know, a lack of tree canopy, that's not by mistake. That has been intentional. How do we intentionally do better and how do we, you know, make sure that we're spending the investment of the public dollars where it's doing the most good? So couple that with having a strong and resilient workforce for the city, because I do literally none of this work. I used to do some of this work. I can take some pride in actually building things at some point in my life. But all I do right now is create an environment where people who do the work can be successful. And so that's what I think about all day, every day, is how am I providing the environment for folks to be successful? So that was a fair amount at you, and I'm, you know, happy to talk about any gaps I left in that. But is that what you wanted to talk about? All right. Thank you.
I know I have a couple questions, but maybe another commissioner would want to ask a question. Give a moment.
Yeah, I have a question. So sure. I guess the other side of that coin there would be how do you see this commission fitting into your plan? And what are some of the things that we can do to help enact what you're envisioning, you know, as far as the disability community in Tucson?
Great question. I would say one thing is educate me. I understand that I don't know the challenges that many members of the community are facing. And by educating me, that helps with my understanding. That also helps with me with decision making. And I am deep enough into my career and maturity, not always been the most mature person, but I'm mature enough now to know that I don't have all the answers and I don't know all the things. That was 17-year-old me. Man, I knew everything. But I know that I need help to understand how these these investments should be done. And it's not from a lack of willingness and it's not from a lack of want. It's a lack of knowledge. And that's where I think a commission like yours can really help me. And when I'm saying me, I'm saying all of us. It's the whole organization really needs to understand things in a way that we don't right now. And there are certainly pockets of people who have tremendous understanding. And then there's pockets of people that have tremendous empathy, but don't have the knowledge. And so that's my ask is help me to understand.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. You know, on that note, you know, I know that, Cody has, you know, published or sent to mayor and councils, you know, several reports that you may or may not be familiar with. And I know that there's probably been, you know, some conversations about some of the issues that we're encountering. I think there's a couple issues that have come up over the last 3 months from disabled constituents. Commissioner Krieger, I see your hand. You're next. I kind of wanted to just identify and ask if, you know, if you had had any input from any council members or, you know, other city staffers. One is Chapter 25, and I can't remember the exact ordinance, but the ordinance that requires private property owners to maintain sidewalks and, you know, keep them, you know, clear, accessible, usable. I understand the city can't be liable for all sidewalks in Tucson, because that'd probably be a bunch of money that the city isn't able to, throw out. But is there a way, especially when disabled community members identify sidewalks that they use on a regular basis that are impassable, and maybe, you know, the private property owner doesn't have the capacity to fund, you know, those to maintain the accessibility? Is there a way that the city can step in, or that can be negotiated in any capacity, or has that, you know, has that discussion been brought up?
So I'm going to give you an incomplete answer, but I'm doing that from the standpoint of a conversation that's in process. So I'm aware of that issue, and it has been discussed. And I actually, in my heart, totally agree with that spirit and intent, where the goal is to have safe, accessible sidewalks, right? The mechanisms we have right now is we tell the homeowner, go take care of it. We also have many homeowners that are either unwilling or incapable to do it. And so how do we fill that gap? So the incomplete part of it is there was a meeting held. I think an internal staff meeting held. It was either last week or the week before. It must have been the week before. And I was not able to attend that meeting. And I have not circled back with my assistant city manager, Liz Morales, to find out where the exact status of that conversation was. So, and I've promised to Mr. Desbro to get, I meet with Chris fairly regularly, and which is where I'm getting much of my education. So kudos to Chris. So, and actually I think it was either just yesterday or the day before, that we had just talked about this. So yes, it's a topic of conversation. And yes, I understand the spirit and intent behind that question. And I will circle back either directly with Cody or through Chris with what I find out from where that meeting is. And there may be options foreclosed to us for whatever legal or other reason. And I'll be just transparent if I run into that. I'll also be transparent if it's like a barrier that can be overcome. That's sort of my specialty. So. No, I can't promise where we'll land with it, but I agree in spirit with exactly where that question's coming from. And I gotta believe there's a way to make something happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that, like, you know, yep. Honest and transparent, you know, answer. And I definitely understand the difference between like a mountain as a barrier and, you know, a big boulder and, I had one kind of similar issue that I wanted to kind of just bring up and maybe, just note that it's slightly different. But, you know, I've had communication from disabled community members that they've made access complaints to accessibility complaints through code enforcement on existing structures. And code enforcement has told them that they do not enforce accessibility standards and that they should go through the Department of Justice and the Americans with Disabilities Act. While I understand that, you know, the ADA sets out like kind of a judicial process for, you know, enforcing accessibility. Like the city, to my understanding, has adopted a uniform access code that, you know, businesses should probably comply with. You know, I understand that code enforcement might be understaffed or, you know, busy, but some of the complaints, you know, might be keeping a door unlocked that is required for an accessible path of travel, moving a shelf in a bathroom that, you know, blocks access. Simple things like that, that sometimes business owners or individuals aren't necessarily, very keen to do, but wouldn't really necessitate an ADA complaint. Or, you know, rise to that level of like action. It just seems weird that code enforcement would make a blanket statement that they don't enforce city code. So I just, you know, you may not have any response or any way of correcting that, but I just kind of wanted to note it. for.
Well,
for things.
I do have a response, because that is also been something that has been put on my radar since moving into this role. I did debrief with my team yesterday on this one, and they're doing some follow-up work for me. So the following things are what I believe, but I can't prove to you yet. And Rebecca Hill, I see, is on the call, so she might be able to help me out here. So I do believe it's true that code enforcement doesn't routinely respond or take action on ADA-specific complaints. I do believe that's true. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying I do believe that to be true. However, I do believe our intent is that they're not supposed to just say go to DOJ or go to some other mechanism. I believe they're supposed to be directing folks to our OEOP function, which is under Rebecca Hill. And I further believe that those complaints are investigated through her function. Again, I haven't even talked to Rebecca about this since learning of this yesterday. So I don't want to put you on the spot, Rebecca, but feel free to jump in and course correct me where I go astray. Having said that, go ahead, Rebecca.
Right, because OEOP does not have any jurisdiction with private, with homeowners or private businesses. We only have the jurisdiction to address city properties, facilities, services, activities with regard to accessibility. So we then refer them to either the Arizona Center for Disability Law or DOJ, or sometimes to Planning and Development Services if it's a violation of whatever plans had been approved. So, it's all case by case, but OEOP does not have any authority in that manner.
Thank you for, go ahead, Zach, sorry.
Rebecca, just to clarify, if an existing business, has violated the plans that Planning and Development had approved, by doing a simple, thing that I one of the examples that I suggested, Planning and Development could address that with the business, because it would not be within the plans that they approved.
That is my understanding, that they could send an inspector out. But again, it depends on maybe how recent, the building or the facility was constructed, mm-hmm. and, there's a lot of variables in there.
Okay. Good to know.
If I could add to that. Yeah. So I think there's a timing there that Rebecca just hit on, because almost all of our situations like that, if you take ADA out of the equation and you say somebody encounters something that is not the way something was built, it's almost always a code inspection person that would go out and deal with that. Because PDSD, code used to be under PDSD.
Huh.
So we often conflate the two. Code is under Environmental Services now. So I have work to do here, and I'm going to acknowledge that. And I'm also going to acknowledge that couple things. One is, it should not be our intent to make people, like a constituent that calls in and says, I have a complaint or a concern or a situation that's not right. We shouldn't be bouncing them around. So if it's within our city's purview, we should be able to intake that and distribute it ourselves, not have somebody call and then call and then call. That's one thing. Another thing is you're bringing up situations where it might not be, it's more like a practice that the person does, locks the door or doesn't have all the entrances open. And it's really a counseling and coaching moment, as opposed to we're going to bring down the hammer on somebody. This is something that I think is a gap. And then I'm going to add to the complexity that the city now has complexity, but that leads to opportunity. The city now has a 311 function where we are rolling out more and more one-stop shopping for people to get a variety of things done. And 311 might be the way where we can work on how do we script when somebody calls in with a thing, how are we properly scripting it and properly directing it and getting a work order into the right hands. So there's work to do here. And what I appreciate, especially from Rebecca's comment just now, is I left my conversation yesterday that OEOP would be looking into more things than what actually they are doing. And that's not a criticism of OEOP, but I did not have the impression it was limited to city properties. And that might be correct and fair and absolutely the right thing to do. But what about everything else, right? So I'm hearing you, and I've got it written down on my little thing. The magic is, does something happen with when I write it down? But that's where you can hold me accountable.
Awesome. Thank you for that response and, you know, your openness to taking and, you know, providing Tucson community members, you know, open service to the extent that the city can. I will stop talking and stop asking, you know, taking up so much time. Ms. or Commissioner Krieger, you are next, and then and I don't know if anyone else had their hand up, but if you have questions or thoughts, please feel free to post them.
My connection keeps going in and out, so if you lose me for a minute, it comes right back, but it's kind of choppy. But I put my hand down because Zach really covered most of my concerns. Thank you, Zach. But because I really frustrated and concerned that we can't seem to move beyond compliance, and that, you know, if it isn't a compliance issue, then the city doesn't seem to, you know, kind of take the initiative or advocate for something different. So I really appreciate your comment, Tim, about we could do that, right? The city could, you know, leverage itself and use it as educational opportunities to get. People to adhere to sort of the vision and mission of the city rather than, you know, being concerned about whether it's a lawsuit or not. So that's been my concern. I guess the only other thing I wanted to add is that, again, I really appreciate hearing that you're interested in being educated. I guess I'm assuming that you can also imagine Cody is an educator, right? So it's not like we're unwilling to do that. That said, I know I personally am also kind of interested to know what you're going to do and your office is going to do proactively, and that it isn't just about us educating you, right? We certainly will do that. And I think we can do a pretty good job, but it feels like it's bigger than that. Mm-hmm. Waiting for us to help. So I'm curious to know what you might have in mind for you and your office to sort of get up to speed.
Thank you for that. Thank you. So a couple of things, all of that's very fair. So a couple of things, and I'm going to credit Chris again. And the Ward 2 folks they've actually been engaging with me, since Mr. Ortega announced his retirement in January. We've been meeting monthly to talk through, the city's stance and actions in the disability space. So I came in a little bit better prepared than I might have been otherwise. Having said that, we've got kind of a few different tracks of things that all need effort and attention. One, and this doesn't help the community as much except down the road, is the education, awareness, and training of city staff across the organization in this space. It's one thing to have two or three gurus who go in and they handle the disability stuff. You know, I mean, that it's maybe not quite that simple, but I can say that we, you know, we tend to fall into that habit where you have your go-to person for the things, and that becomes the person who has all the knowledge and has all the passion and has all the opportunity, but they might not also always have the resources, right? So it's got to be something that has to be culturally across the whole organization. And it has to be thought of whether you're doing a park, you're doing a roadway, whether you're doing a recreation center. Are you looking at it through multiple equity lenses of equity, one of which is accessibility and usability? So that is one thing that needs a lot of attention, but it's not daunting. And we do have an office of equity that has had certain focuses for the first 2 years, but I could say disability hasn't been prominent, right? So that's a conversation happening right now as well. Okay, so now, so let's say we can bring up the awareness level and the education level and the thoughtfulness level of staff. What about the infrastructure that exists and the infrastructure that is yet to exist? There's probably things that I could say are better than they were, because let's take road work for an example. There's this, and like probably a lot of infrastructure work, you can say, well, is that just maintenance or is that really reconstruction? And if it's reconstruction, then we have to do the things. And if it's maintenance, we don't have to do the things. But if we're going to make, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of investments in our roadways, we need to include in that making the ADA connections or the ramps or, you know, do that work as we go, as opposed to leaving it undone, which is not a good outcome. And then you never come back and say, well, I need $400 million to go back and do the ADA I should have done back here. Okay, so that's part of it. And I think we're doing better with that than we have. By no means are we perfect. And then there's, as a society, and what is the city's role in society about, you know, the culture of Tucson and inclusiveness, and how does disability become one of the things that we're all proud about? Because we're proud about how and I'm speaking generally for myself, but I think most people would feel like Tucson's an inclusive community, and we embrace diversity, and we embrace a lot of things. Is accessibility one of those things that people think of when they're thinking about how Tucson's really cool? And how does the city set a tone for that and drive that? So there's really those three things, and, you know, some will take longer and some we might swing and miss on, but we certainly can do some things very tangibly early on with how the 5,000 people that work for the city approach, you know, disability thinking in and accessibility thinking in the work that they do every day. And then how do we build things that are by design accessible, while we're trying to do our part to bring the culture of Tucson along. Bold goals.
Yeah, and that's very helpful. I know sort of historically on CODI, we've had some concerns with the training that does get provided for the city. And I'm a believer in training and education, but oftentimes with disability, it falls into the compliance. And it feels like we don't have conversations about, you know, the disability experience and disabled people and, you know, what that brings to our notions of difference and diversity. So I would hope that, you know, if you do look into training, that you'll be mindful of not turning to an attorney for the training, and that you'll consider perhaps more progressive kind of training.
That point is so well taken. Thank you.
I know, thank you, Commissioner Krieger. I know a city manager, you have a short amount of time. I do want to acknowledge that Commissioner Derbyshire has a hand up and might have a question. Maybe this, I know your time is short. You're welcome to stay on, but maybe this could be the last question, you know, unless you have more time. So
okay, happy to have the question.
Yeah, hi, so I'm Wes Derbyshire. I live on the east side of Tucson, and I'm welcome, you know, as a city commissioner and city anyway, we already started on this, but really what I wanted to remind and say is that for me, the big thing is inclusivity in our city. And I came onto this commission because I really don't feel like our roadways are fully inclusive for all people. Like, you know, I'm disabled, I'm blind. I feel like our sidewalks are in many cases terrible specifically. I also feel like there's limited access to cross the roads and such. And those are some of my major concerns. And I'm just going to quickly share that while we talk about the new roads being done, I know that when East Broadway was being done out by Houghton, I had strongly urged that they put a hawk signal at Bonanza, which they failed to do. They did not do that. And within the first year, a child was killed at that intersection crossing that street with her mom. And what, you know, at what point do we say enough is enough? In the hometown where I lived in, which is Princeton, New Jersey, they had 2 deaths at intersections, and they completely modified the way the city operates all their intersections. They actually did all-way stops at all the major intersections in that city of Princeton, New Jersey, which is one of the safest mechanisms. I'm not suggesting that we do that here, although I think that would be great. But what I am saying is I think that there's been an oversight and about what the needs of pedestrians are and even cyclists for that matter. And so I'm hoping that, you know, as part of your duties that you can help respond to that with, you know, with committee and township committee and help us, you know. So that's really what I wanted to point out. And that's all I've had to say.
Okay. Thank you for that. And I'll my response is I hear you. And I think you're right on that this is where investment needs to happen. And we've had a prioritization of single vehicle traffic for 100 years now, and it's multi-mode, and everybody that uses alternate modes, even the word alternate's probably offensive, it uses those modes differently, right? You know, depending on your capabilities or the barriers that you face. So, I am proud of our mayor and council. I'm going to part with saying nice things about the mayor and council so that when you report back to the mayor and council, you say he said nice things about him. I know you do that. But, so take the Prop 411, which was the improve every neighborhood street, and everybody's like, fix our streets. Mayor and council is actually the one that carved out the 15% for safety improvements, right? And it's a drop in the bucket, but it's better than not having anything in the bucket. And some of the bigger, like, federal grants we're going after right now, are under the Safe Streets for All is one of the, key programs, the Justice 40 and the things that the Biden administration have been trying to do. We're lockstep with that to say, how do we get more of that money here to do these things we're talking about now? So, I think we're in a good moment that's only going to get better, but there's a lot to do. There's just a ton of work to do. So, but I appreciate you, educating and pushing. I invite you to also push.
Thank you, City Manager. We really appreciate your presence here. I also want to thank and acknowledge you for appointing Commissioner Elliott rather quickly. They are our new commissioner today. So we really appreciate your time. And look forward to maybe inviting you on. We don't want to take up too much of your time, but like maybe inviting you on once a year or twice a year, or having one of your assistant city managers come on as well.
Appreciate that. This is time well spent, and I'm happy to come back. But I think there is value in also having some of the assistant city managers spend time with you, you know, because we talk all the time and we try to stay on the same page. But having them have the interaction with you, I think, is going to help me as well. So
yeah. Thank you so much. And
thank you so much. You too. Take care.
All right, folks. Thank you for, thanks for, just being here. It's very exciting to have the city manager. I do want to have him or assistant city managers and deputy city manager come on to Cody at one point or another in the next year or so. I want to provide the opportunity for everyone to have input. So we have the next agenda item is actually a quicker agenda item. It's consideration and possible adoption of the minutes from our May 2024 meeting. Did people have a chance to consider and look at those minutes? Okay. Were there any additions or corrections that people would like to make before I ask for a motion?
I'd like to say that we're getting very good minutes. Not too little and not too much information. It's just right as far as I'm concerned. What do you call that? Goldilocks?
Awesome. Yes.
So thank you, Stephanie.
We really appreciate Stephanie and Rick. Because I noticed Rick is on here too. So whichever one of you is helping with the minutes, we really appreciate it. I would be seeking a motion from one of the other commissioners, to approve minutes.
I'll move the motion.
Great. Thank you.
Commissioner Bogan, second.
Okay. We have, a motion and a second. Stephanie, would you take roll call, please?
Okay. So, Kate Elliott?
Here.
Yay.
Yay.
Okay. Sue Krieger?
Yes.
Derek Espaladas?
Yes.
Wesley Dershire?
Yes.
Zach Coble?
Yes.
Ray Jordan?
Yes.
Lily Bogan?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Really appreciate it. Okay. So the next agenda item that we have is a little bit bigger. So it's consideration and possible adoption of Cody priorities for meeting with mayor and council. Review what we had talked about at our May meeting is, I believe, Commissioner Espadas brought up that, you know, we have been writing a memoranda about disability issues for the last about year and a half, 2 years, on various, and then sending them to mayor and council. And I think that's had some effect. You know, we've received responses from Department of Transportation and Mobility, Department of Housing and Community Development, and some other responses as well. But we haven't really focused on meeting with our appointers, whether they are a city council member and staff, or the mayor, or the city manager and his staff. So, Commissioner Jordan and I agreed to work on kind of a document to list our priorities. This isn't really to send to the city manager, or the mayor or mayor and council. It's more, if, if we were to think about Cody's priorities and what we would want to talk about and highlight from our work as a commission to our respective appointers in a meeting, here's how we could talk about that. There's a whole bunch of stuff. I imagine that everyone would get to all the things in this document, but, you know, if you feel passionate about one to three things, here's a way we as a commissioner, commission have talked about it and covered it. I also recognize that not everyone had input into, the priorities because either, attendance at the meeting wasn't possible or they weren't appointed yet. So now is a time for discussion, like what people think about the priorities, how people think about meeting. Yeah. So please feel free to, voice concerns, thoughts, feelings about the document or the idea of meeting with your respective office holders or city manager. So
I'll jump in and say I think you all did an excellent job. It's impressive. It's well written. It's clear. So I think you're right. There are other issues, obviously. It's not the full slate. But I feel really good about it, and I very much appreciated your including accessibility of private buildings. So I think that's been a wonder by a lot of us for a long time is how to manage that. So thank you for the great work. I'm impressed with it.
Appreciate that feedback, Commissioner Gregor. Others?
I'll echo that, and I say I thought it was a very well-written document as well, and I really have no changes. It's a great place for us to start, and, of course, over time, it'll be modified and change. I would imagine that, in a sense, it's a living document.
Thank you, Wesley.
Commissioner Bogan?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I just wanted to say thank you to you, Zach, and any other commissioners who helped you with the document. I'm sure that was a lot of work for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Bogan. I appreciate that, and I appreciate Commissioner Jordan's input and help, especially in the transportation section. Speaking of Commissioner Jordan, please, floor is yours. So,
thank you, Zach. Everybody, I credit Zach with at least 90% of that document. It's an excellent, excellent thing. I was able to. This is something we talked about at the last meeting as well. I actually reached out to my local council member and had a meeting with him a few weeks ago now. And there wasn't time to talk about all of those things in that document, but I certainly raised a couple of issues that were relevant particularly to the ward in which I live, and that he is obviously the council member for. And so that was it was a really interesting meeting. He was certainly on the same page. He liked where the commission is heading at the moment. It's become the commission as a whole has become more proactive, I think. He had read the memos, the reports that had been sent to Mayor and Council, and would like to see more of it. He followed up by sending two of his staff members out to a coffee place near my house to meet with me and interviewed me for the this month's ward newsletter. The staff members asked me some really deep questions about accessibility and, you know, my thoughts on such matters and my involvement with Cody and why I got involved and all of that kind of thing. So, yeah, one thing leads to another. So I certainly think we're on the right path.
Thanks, Commissioner Jordan, for that. Any other feedback or additions to the document that people want to have? Okay. So not seeing any specific one. So Commissioner Jordan was active and got this rolling before, you know, we had adopted the document, which is great. So what I was imagining, and you know, you all can, you're your independent commissioner self, so you can do what with this as what you will, is like I thought that we could have a motion to adopt the priorities, and then we each could individually reach out to our city council member's office, the mayor's office, the city manager's office, and try to set an individual meeting with them or a relevant staff person. Recognize that obviously the city manager has many, many things to do, and the mayor also oversees a lot, and as does any city manager, as does any city council person, and they might have, you know, staffers that are interested in meeting with us too. And we could use this document, you know, in our discussions with them, and then, you know, physically give it to them so it's in their hands. How does that sound like a course of action?
It's Ray Jordan here, just to jump in. I think that's one great course of action. Other is perhaps we could let that document, if we work through it and pick out another issue that we as a commission write to mayor and council on as a whole, might be a good thing. And my thought at the moment is sidewalks and an accessible path of travel.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think we can, you know, write another memorandum about a specific issue. I think, and we can definitely, I'm definitely into sidewalks. I think I just kind of want to make sure that people are okay with the idea of meeting with their pointer and using kind of the priority list, either as written or if there's additions to that, kind of in that meeting, because I think the writing of the another report is great, but you know, they also, like the mayor and council and city manager staffers, deserve to see our faces as well, and we deserve to see them. So one is I would be looking for a motion to adopt this document as, unless there's other options, and then just I would like to hear from you all if you all feel comfortable with making meetings with your appointers, and I'm happy to help with that as well. So first motion.
I'm going to step up and make the motion to adopt the document. This is Wesley.
I'll second. Ray Jordan.
Okay. Stephanie or Rick, whichever one of you has the ability to, could you do roll call for people's yays and nays?
All right. Kate Elliott?
Yes.
Sue Krieger?
Yes.
Derek Espadas?
Yes.
Wesley Dibshire?
Yes.
Zach Bumble?
Yes.
Ray Jordan?
Yes.
Lily Bogan?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
All right. Great. We don't really need another motion to say we're going to set meetings, but maybe, you know, we can just have as a commission, I see you, Commissioner Jordan, you know, we can just try to reach out to our council members, mayor, city manager's office to meet with, you know, them or relevant staff around some of the issues that we care about, and either report back about the meeting next month or see how it's going, trying to get the meeting. Does that sound like a fair course of action? Again, I'm also happy as chair to help you all navigate that as well. And Commissioner Jordan, you have your hand up, so.
Thank you, Zach. I second you totally in that. I found the email address for the Ward 5 office on the City of Tucson webpage, and I just emailed that generic email address and said, hey, my name is Ray, blah, 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 Cody. I would really love a meeting with a council member. And a few days later, I received a reply from one of his assistants, and said, thank you very much. Yes, we would love to talk to you. And when I had the meeting, the council member himself said, I would like to meet with you on a quarterly basis, please. So I was very encouraged by that. It was a very cordial meeting, very friendly meeting. Nice fellow, and I imagine all of the other council members are got to be much the same. So I do encourage everybody to make contact and do that with their appointor. That's it.
Yeah, I'm off now. Thank you, Commissioner Jordan. None of the other commissioners have comments or questions or, you know, issues. We can move on to agenda item number 6, which is, I gave a lot of documents today, but agenda item is number 6 is just providing feedback on this document of Complete Streets Coordinating Council. What the document is a draft of funding priorities for the Complete Streets Coordinating Council, which I sit on for Cody. That is why I'm seeking your feedback. I will say that I was involved in kind of the a subcommittee that helped conceive of this document, but I was not able to attend the full meeting last month as I was on vacation and out of internet service. But I think we will probably, you know, vote, or at least we may vote on this document at our next meeting in next week. Sometimes there's a pause if the coordinating council is not reaching consensus. So I want to give a background. So sidewalks, like there's public safety, there's bike lanes, kind of public safety funding for like crosswalks, hawk signals, that type of thing. And then there's sidewalk improvements. So like the sidewalk improvements are kind of separate from the public safety funding. One of the ways we are considering doing sidewalks, and there's, I do think the staffers have good intentions and good thinking through things, is there's only a certain amount of money through Prop 411 that we can allocate. And we can kind of allocate that to bigger projects along arterial roads. So that would be more like Broadway, Speedway, Oracle, that type of thing. Or collector streets, which are more things like Speedway, or not Speedway, Columbus, 5th, kind of smaller, like maybe like Country Club, kind of smaller streets that get a lot of traffic and but don't rise to the level of kind of your main thoroughfares. When we put money into the sidewalks and lots of public safety improvements on the main arterial streets, like there's a lot less projects that can be done because those cost, like the main streets cost a lot of money. So what staff have tried to do is think through like what collector streets could we fund over the next 7 years to create more accessibility. And most of the ones that look like they have funding, like are being proposed for funding, either have gaps in sidewalks, like some sidewalks and some public safety, but not, you know, gaps in that. And or they have road projects already funded through like some other funding. So what staff have indicated is that when you fund, when you couple road work and sidewalk or public safety work together, it's like overall cheaper and you can get more stuff done. So that's why they've done that. In my opinion, kind of after going through it, is it makes sense to me to fund collector streets, in a large part because some of those collector streets do have important, functions for people with disabilities. And if we can fill sidewalk gaps where, you know, some exist and then people can't use them, the full way, and or providing public safety, is you could create more safe corridors. But I'm curious what other members think. Commissioner Espadas, I see your hand up. So
yeah, so I would be interested in knowing what the data they're working off of and what kind of data we can work off. Because right now, if it's just set up as a binary, let's say we do, you know, they go forward and fix collector streets. But if those are particular streets that are not needed, then it doesn't have the impact as if there's data on the particular, whether collector or main, that are actually being used by people with disabilities. And so it, because all the work can be done, but let's say like for me, that's great. But then I step out my door and it's not accessible. Like I'm going to have issue. So what data are they working off of, and how can we make that data better so that there's better usage of the funds?
So thank you for that question. I'm maybe I should have also sent the Excel spreadsheets, but that's it. The Excel spreadsheets are a lot of data. So the data, so there's like I'm going to try to explain this in a short amount of time, but there's like a scoring system of, you know, the streets that are getting prioritized, like kind of scored highly for either one or multiple measures of priority. So some of that is like there's an equity index that measures like kind of socioeconomic, income areas or, you know, kind of the status of the streets. So if, you know, if there's more working class or poor folks, or there's, you know, certain, other factors in that can prioritize. There's also crash data of how many crashes occurred, like on that specific stretch of road. And all, pretty much all of those, all of the ones that are getting funded had a pretty high score, meaning bad score for crash data. There's fatality data, which is separate. Again, so usually the ones that are getting, there's like four levels for each specific indice measured. And almost all of them have either a one or two in all those priorities level. In addition to the, there's also, kind of, priorities based on Move Tucson, which is a separate, like, 20-year visioning, document. So most of those, projects are in Move Tucson and prioritized by Move Tucson. And then there's like what the projects can do to enhance complete streets goals. So complete streets imagines like, you know, a connect, like that we don't have any missed connections, when we're doing these, like where, you know, you would have an accessible, continuous, environment for pedestrians in those areas. It's not perfect because the funding isn't perfect, but, you know, that's kind of the data they're working, you know, they're working off of in trying to prioritize this, in addition to kind of logistics of the projects, as I've mentioned before. Is that helpful in answering that question?
As someone who works in data, I just question all data, and the quality of the data. And it, like, you even mentioned, like, the equity and, like, the equity index for myself and being a person with a disability. I need things not to be equitable. I need extra in order to maintain equitable lifestyle. And so for me, like, I would love to see those spreadsheets. I love spreadsheets. I live for spreadsheets. Just to be able to take a look, because it's for me, it's a numerical language, and how that language is actually telling the story to be able to see what is the most, and I agree with you, like, it's imperfect. It's, we don't have money to redo everything. It's not going to be an ideal situation, but I would love to see what's the best non-ideal situation, and just kind of be able to see the story behind it. I speak number. So I would love to see that.
I should have just sent the Excel spreadsheets along. I can, you know, they're public documents, so I'm happy to send those to you directly once I find the email, because there's multiple Excel spreadsheets. So I'll find the latest one that was kind of the basis of the the one, but it'll give you a good idea of what's happening. Commissioner Derbyshire?
Yeah, so if I understood you correctly, it sounds like there's this other thing, Move Tucson or something, that is long-range plans for maybe the major roads or something in the city. Is that what I understand that to be for?
So Move Tucson is like, it's kind of, it also includes our ADA transition plan for transportation. It's like a 400-page document. It's a really long document with like lists of projects, including roads, but also including bike lane improvements, safety, like public safety, like crosswalks and hawk signals, bus stop improvements, sidewalk improvements. Like there's a whole long list of that. And that document, I can't remember if it's 20 or 30 years, but it's years long in terms of its scope. And then this, the Complete Streets isn't necessarily beholden to Move Tucson, but, it does try to take into account, because we are using Prop 4, $11 that the voters approved to fund projects for street improvements, for sidewalks, for bike lanes, and for public safety improvements. Road funding was a separate pot of money that Complete Streets isn't super involved with, other than we can kind of couple the road projects with other types of improvements to make things better.
Yeah, so the Move thing is not actually funded yet. It's just a plan, whereas the other thing is funded. And then because the plan is taking into account some of the major thoroughfares, maybe they're being discluded from this current plan that is already funded. And I mean, and just as an example, I'm just going to cite, one area that I'm very well aware of. And I mean, like Speedway is a road that desperately needs a lot of help when it comes to pedestrian safety. There's huge problems with sidewalks going east and west along that whole, much of that strip, not all of it, but a lot of it. And that's just an example. And to me, even when I've walked that, to get a bus or whatever, I've seen plenty of pedestrians and it seems like it's highly trafficked, whether those pedestrians are sighted, disabled or not. And then I've noticed on that particular road, just as an example again, fire hydrants that are right in the middle of the sidewalk and, street signs that are in the middle of the sidewalk and stuff like that, which would make it impossible for a wheelchair to get by, forcing them onto the street. So I'm just, that's why I was wondering how that was being considered for the plan that is funded versus this other long range plan. That's what I was really after.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have it right. Like Move Tucson is more like a vision document, and then Complete Streets is more, we have funding, and this isn't the only funding, for sidewalk or, public safety improvements, but it is kind of like one of the main funding sources the city can draw on. An example of why Speedway is an arterial road is challenging is that it's a really long road. Like it does have a lot of problems. Everyone on the Complete Streets Coordinating Council knows that, the staff know that, and I think there's in an ideal world, we totally revamp Speedway and that'd be a super huge priority. But the amount of money, I don't know this for sure, but the amount of money that it would take to reform Speedway, even a little bit of it, would be significant in compared to some some of smaller but well-trafficked roads because of the amount of easements that would be needed, amount of restructuring of drainage and like other things I don't understand because I'm not an engineer. So it's just like Prop 411 is like a drop in the bucket of like what is actually needed for sidewalks and public safety. Yeah, that's what I can say about that. So,
yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah. But I'm happy to, like, in the future, like, if I give complete streets reports and you all have questions or want more data, as Commissioner Spottis, does, I can send all the spreadsheets anyone can handle. So thank you for the feedback. If people have other feedback, please let me know. I'm only one member of, the coordinating council, but I try to be active and, expressing the views of Cody and like thinking through, access and disability issues.
Hey, Zach.
I'm just
curious. I really appreciate you being part of this effort, but I'm curious as to how much thinking and attention do people have about disability and access, or are you feeling like you are the constant reminder? I'm just, again, curious.
I mean, I think like everyone, like because of some, I think on the Complete Streets Coordinating Council that so far, like, there hasn't been like a lot of competition, like it's disabled people versus bikers or that type of dynamic. And most of that, I think, is due to the fact that people understand that regardless of whether they're disabled or not, or understand, the experience of disabled people, that things like accessible sidewalks, and hawk signals, and that type of thing, benefit non-disabled pedestrians and users of our public infrastructure too. So no one's like, I don't feel like, anyone's saying that, disabled concerns aren't important or, challenging on that. In fact, some other folks have brought up that, when we funded different projects, we funded a project near St. Mary's Hospital recently. And both one of the members of the neighborhood around that hospital and one of the other coordinating council members noted, how many disabled people go to and fro in that area and how dangerous that area has been. So, so that was heartening. I think maybe like where I'm trying to still figure out is where, like, how much input does the coordinating council have in the design of, those improvements? Because you can fund improvements that all sound good, but as multiple of you have noted, if they put the improvements in the wrong place, like the signals in the wrong place or kind of street lamps in the wrong place, it can really cut off access. So that's kind of like my next kind of quest, other than to try to make sure the documents that I'm providing you are as accessible as they're going to get, like are as accessible as they're, can be, just given the information. So, yeah. that leads, if no other commissioners have comments or questions on that, I believe that leads us to our final agenda item, which is announcements. I have two, and I'm going to just take the floor because I want to, like, I was asked to announce this. There is a spot on the Tucson, City of Tucson Transit Task Force for disabled community member to be appointed. I was informed by one of Stephanie and Rick's colleagues with the city clerk that that spot was open. So if you know anyone, know a disabled community member that might be interested in that, you know, please reach out. I can try to get information more on what that transit task force does and whether, you know, whether dual appointments are possible if any of you are interested. I'm not, there's so many task force and, coordinating councils and, you know, stuff adjacent to Cody that I can't always keep it straight in my head, but I'm happy to, you know, figure that out and bring someone onto one of our meetings to talk about it too. So I'm just announcing that. The second thing is I would like to, you know, introduce our newest commissioner, Kate Elliott, who joins us appointed through the city manager. Kate, we're really excited to have you. Hope you've enjoyed the first meeting, if not a little overwhelmed. You know, if you want to introduce yourself, now would be a great time.
Just a quick, I'm Kate Elliott. I am a lifelong Tucsonan. I was born and raised here minus 6 years. I lived in Chicago for grad school. And so I really love the city and I care about it. In my professional world, I am the executive director of the Autism Society of Southern Arizona. So I do a lot of advocacy work and everything through there. So I'm excited to work with you guys and just see what, be a part of it. That's it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Kate. Do any other commissioners have announcements that they would like to make in regard to any events or goings on or thoughts, disability community related? Okay. Maybe one other thing is I want to respond to Commissioner Jordan that I did hear you about writing the memorandum of, you know, for the sidewalks, and we could possibly consider, you know, I'm happy to do that with you, or if any other member wants to, you know, help us, with that, please reach out to me or Commissioner Jordan by email. Thanks everyone. Really appreciate your presence. Really appreciate city staff who, you know, were on. Thank you all very, very much. And thank you to our city clerk staff, Rick and Stephanie. Really appreciate you as well.
Thank you. You guys have a great evening.
Thank you, everyone.
You all too.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Calling this meeting adjourned.